Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. On Mondays, I teach from home, but when I run errands and stuff, I can record in the car, and that's awesome. We got about 10 to 15 minutes every week to talk about all things education related and ways to change the game for our learners, whether you teach littles or middles or high school, all the way up to college kids or adult learners. Especially in this time of pandemic, I think it helps to just have sounding boards. That's what I use this for. I don't pretend to be an expert. I just love to chime in with teachers and talk about things that are cool in teaching and cool in classrooms that we can help our students feel connected and supported, especially in this pandemic stuff. Like, it really helps to replicate some of those elements of whatever normal was. So that's what today's all about. And today, I want to talk about a sense of community and the hottest video game in the world today. More on that in a second, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe using your favorite podcasting app. Leave a comment or like. It would help me get this voice out to other people. Hooray. And for those who send feedback, thank you. I appreciate it. Actually, the past few weeks, there was a delay. I changed some settings on my end, and it looks like the last three episodes were kind of swallowed by the internet. So if you're just listening now, I'm sorry for those lost episodes. They did not go through. They were in the virtual dead letter office. I've went back and reposted them, so you should have them for the past 3 weeks. But as you find stuff, as you listen, if you like stuff, hit me up on Twitter and let me know. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. It's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. I love talking about teaching with people who talk about it. So thank you for chiming in. Your support means a lot. And I apologize that those things got swallowed in the intranets. I'm trying to do some fancy stuff, and apparently I got a little too big for my britches. But unrelated to that, last but not least, I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com, and that's all templates and all resources and blog posts and social media stuff that you can use inspired by the book that I wrote. It's called Adrenaline Rush, Game-Changing Student Engagement Inspired by Theme Parks, Mud Runs, and Escape Rooms. And doesn't that sound cool, right? So feel free to check that out on the website. I have all sorts of stuff, up to and including what I'll be talking about today. At least I hope to get this up there one of these days. The hottest video game in the world today. So unless you've been living under a rock, if you teach kids or if you have kids of your own, you've probably heard of this iOS and Android game. It's also on Google Chrome. It is free to download for most of those platforms, but it has that freemium model where it's free to download, but you can have like upgrades that you pay, you know, pennies on the dollar for, whatever it is. Like all of the Battle Royale style games where PUBG, Fortnite. But the one that everyone's playing today is called Among Us. And if you've never played Among Us, I'm here to welcome you to the team. Welcome Among Us, as it were. In fact, I think it was last week, the senator from, or the congresswoman from New York, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, played Among Us on a Twitch streaming party, and it really helped this blow up with people who were not just kids. If you've never played Among Us, you know nothing about it, find your nearest 12-year-old or 14-year-old and ask them. They will be happy to explain it to you. But I'll do what I can to kind of get you through it and walk through how this might be of use in your classrooms, because I had the chance to take it for a spin with my students in study hall last week, and wow, I have never seen that level of instant engagement across the board, boys and girls, old and young students, like older and younger students, black and white students, gay and straight students. There's so much about this game that it seems really accessible, really easy learning curve. And then it's really inspirational for things we might be able to do in our classroom with Among Us. So, if you have Among Us, and the time it'll take me to explain it to you on this podcast, you can literally download it on iOS for free, or Android. I'm going to speak to the iOS platform because I just have an iPhone. But go to your app store and download it free. And without any account to create or any sort of fancy software to install on top of that, you now have a brand new video game where you can join in an online room with up to, I think, 9 other players. I think it's 10 in a room. At once. You can join a public room where 10 people play at once, or you can create a private room for you and up to 9 or 10 of your friends, and that's how it works. You can either host that room, or you can just join a room that someone else has hosted, either by taking their code or just go to a public room. Okay, fine. But in rooms of about 10, maybe I'm wrong, I realize there's probably pros for that. Actually, it's 8 or 12. Let's pretend it's 10. You and 9 other buddies are hanging out in a room, and you are now all part of the same team. Think of yourselves as little spacecraft men, men all in like hazmat suits trying to land a cartoon spaceship. Okay, fine. As you're trying to land your cartoon spaceship, you have to run around, imagine like a Star Wars or a Star Trek type spaceship. So like, you know, the Millennium Falcon or the Enterprise, right? There's all of these different rooms. There's like a cargo bay, there's an electricity room, there's like the torpedoes, there's whatever it is. And so you have an overhead map view, almost like The Legend of Zelda or a game of Clue, where you see what appears to be like the tiles of the board directly below the feet of your little spacemen. You're running around, you're the little blue spaceman, a little green spaceman, a little yellow spaceman, and you're trying to solve a series of tasks by just visiting different rooms in the ship. So you have to maybe run to the electricity room and, like, turn on the lights again. Or you have to make your way to the cafeteria and, you know, push three or four buttons to make sure that everyone has the ability to eat. There's no particular skill at any of these events. Like, you literally just walk over it and press the one button that you can push, and it starts doing whatever the action is there. So maybe there's, like, leaves in the air filter, or there's, like I said, lights are turned out, or you have to, like, load the cannons or fill the gas can. You get the idea. It's a series of, like, tasks scattered around an overhead map view of, like, a ship. And you and your eight or nine buddies are running around in your little spaceman suits, and you can't really do much else other than run around and accomplish the tasks. The goal is to accomplish all the tasks as quickly as you can, because the idea is you're trying to land this ship. If you land this ship and all the tasks are complete, you win. If time runs out in the game and you have not completed all the tasks, you lose. And you don't lose individually, you lose as a team. Okay, fine. So now you're working as a group of spacemen, let's say 9 or 10 on the same team, with the goal of divide and conquer, solve as many tasks as you can before time expires. On your mark, get set, go. That's the game. But to make the game more fun and more interesting, there's an element of social strategy and deduction. So if you ever played the game of Clue, for example, from a board game, the way that it works is you're trying to figure out who did what, you know, who's the bad guy. Was it Colonel Mustard or Miss Scarlet or Professor Plum, Miss White? You're trying to figure out who the bad guy is in the manor, and you're walking around in different rooms, and each room might have a different clue, where you're like, oh, so-and-so was here, and they used this weapon, or so-and-so was not here. It's like process of elimination, right? If this, but not that, and so on and so forth. So it's a thought puzzle, and by social strategy or process of elimination, you're asking questions. I suspect it was so-and-so. Anybody? 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 Then they hold up cards, they say, nope, it wasn't so-and-so, because I have a card that proves that. Or, nope, it couldn't have been in this room, because I have a card that proves that. Finding alibis and finding tools, okay, fine. In the game of Clue, the goal is to figure out who the murderer is, in what room they committed the murder, and what tool or weapon they used to accomplish that task. That's the social strategy and sleuthing game there. And you can do a little bit of a misdirect in Clue. For example, if you have in your hand a card that says lead pipe, you could say, I suspect it was Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with a lead pipe. And does anybody have any cards to disprove me? Maybe nobody has Colonel Mustard. Maybe no one has conservatory, but you're sitting on lead pipe. Nobody in that moment would be able to reply no if they don't have any cards to disprove it. And so immediately everyone's thinking, well, it must be Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with the lead pipe. But you, haha, were sitting on that lead pipe card just trying to trick them to make an accusation. Yeah, I accuse Colonel Mustard with the lead pipe in the conservatory. And when they make that accusation, if that accusation is wrong, of course, they get voted off the island automatically. They're out of the game. And the idea is to eliminate your competition in Clue, like you would off a suspect, counting down the ways that there's only one person left, either because they've solved the puzzle or because they've eliminated all their rivals. Sort of two ways to win. Among Us works very similar. If you complete all the tasks, you win. But Among Us, among the team of 8 or 10 good guys, there are 2 or 3 bad guys, but they look just like everyone else. So right before the game starts, you get a quick screen that loads and says, shh, you are an imposter, or shh, you are a crewmate. If you are a crewmate, you are trying to solve all the tasks. If you are an imposter, you're trying to see to it that the tasks don't get solved. So as you walk by the light switches, instead of turning them on, you have the ability to turn them off. Or instead of filling the gas can, maybe you have the ability to spill the gas can. Or instead of loading the torpedoes, may have the chance to jam the torpedoes, right? Cleaning out the vent may have the chance to clog the vent. You get the idea. And you, with the one button you have as the imposter, walk by and just tap it next to whatever that action space is. So as you walk into the cafeteria, maybe you trip the food over and there's food spilled on the floor. Or as you work to the electricity room, you trip the lights and now all the lights in the ship are off. You get the idea. So much like the movie Alien, while everyone is on this ship trying to land this ship, somewhere among them there is an imposter or an intruder or an alien. The beauty of it is that everyone is trying to play like they are not the bad guy, so you don't want to get caught. The goal of Among Us is to try to sabotage the rival team, if you are the imposter team, and not get sussed out for doing this shady behavior. So now you're doing things like as you're walking into a room, you're making sure that the coast is clear before you trip those lights. Or, if you're walking in a room with somebody, you're coming up behind them, like the movie Clue, and you whack them on the head with a lead pipe, you have the ability to, like, target somebody. And I think it says attack or kill. I apologize for the not school-friendly language there. But there's no blood, there's no violence in the game. And you literally just hit the whap button, like the boom, and that person is now dropped cold dead. So let's say I'm walking into a room with my friend Bill. Bill and I are like, okay, you go left, I go right. All right, what's going on? There's still eight other people in other rooms, and I'm the imposter. I sneak up behind Bill when he's trying to fix those lights, and then now Bill's dead. I laugh, and Bill knows in that moment that I got him, but Bill is dead, so Bill can't do much to do anything to sort of move the needle. Now, the beauty of the game is it works like the game of Mafia or Ultimate Werewolf, if you ever played these social strategy games, where once someone stumbles upon the body of somebody who's been off, and again, there's like a little cartoon body. It's very, very bloodless. It's very almost like insultingly cute. Like it's like a dead thing with like X's in its eyes, like a cartoon. Once you stumble upon it, immediately then we call an emergency meeting. Oh no, Bill's been killed. Who done it? And you have like either 20 seconds or 30 seconds. You can set up to a minute or so for an open chat for people to debate. The way that works is there's like an online discussion forum right there built into the app. And you talk about, I think Billy did it, I think Johnny did it, I think Susie did it. And everyone's talking. At the end of that time, everyone has a chance to cast their votes. And whoever receives the majority votes at that moment is voted off the island. They're out of the game and the game continues. At which point you learn that person was either an imposter or they killed an innocent crewmate. And that body is removed, that person is out of the game, and then you rinse and repeat, sort of elimination style, who will be left until you make your way either to solve all these tasks or to kill all these crewmates. So it's a game of sharks and minnows, and it's a game of, like I said, Mafia or Ultimate Werewolf, and it's really easy to pick up. Like, there is no learning curve, but if you wanted to pick it up, easiest way to do it is to dial it up on your phone, and have your students dial it up on their phone, too. I did it in study hall, my kids, and I loved it. I was like, guys, should I be playing this game? Because I'm hearing a lot about it. They're like, oh my gosh, yes. Not only did they explain it to me in great detail, they were really proud to show me strategies. Oh, when we go into rooms, let's go in threes, so it's Bill and you and Bobby. That way, we have someone who knows if there was a killer among them. Ooh, nice, right? The strategy here. You see students taking natural leadership roles. Hey, guys, we have to fix this room. We have to go to that room. We have to fix these three tasks. Okay, you take this, I'll take that. Almost like a horror movie. You go into these rooms, I go into those rooms. Meanwhile, you have these imposters who are trying to not get caught. So they're playing it as if they're trying to be honest, but they're not being honest. They're clearly manipulating things, and they're like, yeah, I'll go wherever you want me to go, man. And, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to push that button. I'm so sorry. Because they don't want to get caught being the imposter, right? They, in fact, want the game to go on as long as it can without them being figured out. And so they're doing things like creating alibis for themselves. No, couldn't have been me. I was with Bobby. No, I was there in the electrical room. No, the last thing I did was I turned on the torpedoes. And they're openly bluffing. And I think it's important that we distinguish between bluffing and lying. In a game, when you're encouraged to be deceitful, that's what we call bluffing. Like in poker, I don't think you're a liar if you tell me you have an ace and a king off suit. I think you're trying to win the game. Game of Survivor, I don't think you're lying. I think you're telling me, yep, I have an immunity idol, so I don't vote for you, right? That's a bluff. In the game of Among Us, we are trying to get other people caught sleeping so that they don't suspect, oh my god, that person is really out to get me. They're the imposter among us. And we played real quick, like two or three rounds of it, and each game is like 5 minutes really fast. But then immediately after we had played two or three times, we debriefed and talked about, what did you like about this game? How did we win? How did we lose? If we had to do it again, what could we do differently? Who had good strategy? Who was able to manipulate us? Who was able to trick us? Whose bluffs were really effective? We talked about using methods of persuasion, ethos, pathos, logos. We talked about having alibis, having credibility, working in numbers, using real news, fake news, sussing out people whether they be trusted, or reading body language or nonverbal cues as we in class were playing together. And what was cool is you could do this over a Zoom as well. Everyone's playing the game on their phone, okay, fine, and they're just playing pretty much in silence. But when we get to one of those community meetings, you can hear the record scratch. Now we all dial into the Zoom call, or we're sitting on the Zoom call that's been muted. All right, guys, we got a minute. Let's just talk. Who do we think it is? Why do we think it was them? What did you notice? Where did you see it? Even the students who are typically quiet have a lot to say in those moments because they don't want to get voted out. And as they want to get back in the game, like, I know who it was. I saw who it was. Boom, 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 boom. I think the way the game plays when you have a private setting is that even when you are ghosted or dead, your character's dead, you still get to see the game play out, like in Mario Kart, so you can still watch the screen play. And that's nice, because then even though you have no ability to affect the outcome of the game, you can see what's going on. And, of course, in a Zoom call, you can say, I'm the ghost, and I totally saw it. Or, if you were a ghost, you can lie, right? Oh my god, I saw Billy doing it, and Billy was the bad guy all along. Billy's like, nope, I was a good guy all along. But there's this game that you're never really on the bench, you're always in the field, and you're always in the game. I think for a rhetoric game, it's amazing. I love using games for rhetoric. I've used Super Fight, I've used Two Rooms and a Boom, and I've used now Among Us, and I cannot say enough great things about it. Certainly, you do want to be mindful of the content, because there are some things in here that might be a little colorful for younger audiences. If you're using words like killed or ghosted, you do have to be mindful of that. But very quickly, I can think of a million classroom applications for youngers and middles and littles, high school students certainly, where it's, hey, we're having fun together. We're playing like effectively a game of dodgeball. Because the rounds are so quick, you never really have a chance to be on the losing team for more than 5 minutes, 7 minutes at a clip. It teaches resiliency, it teaches strategy, it helps students be included, even those awkward oddball kids who just don't particularly have the social acumen, because they are now on the team of the imposters or on the team of the crewmates, immediately they're right back in the game with a new group of friends, and there's never any chance for them to feel like bullied or forgotten or shamed, while they have a chance to listen to their classmates and share and then make strategies that help move the game forward. And that's awesome, because games do a great job of welcoming everyone to play with it. Again, rich and poor, old and young, gay and straight, black and white, etc., etc. An awesome, awesome strategy game. I can't say enough great things about it. Free, super easy to use, and highly adaptable. Highly recommend. 10 out of 10. That's my thoughts about Among Us. Would love to hear your thoughts about if you have ideas for how to use it in your classroom. There's a bunch of great variants that I'm seeing on Twitter already. Maybe in the weeks to come, stay tuned. I might have some ideas about how I could adapt it with full-blown lesson pedagogies as well. In the meantime, stay safe, stay home, get an early vote in. I early voted today. I hope you're safe. I hope you're healthy. I hope you're staying positive and testing negative. And I'll talk to you next Monday. God bless you. Stay safe. Bye for now. Thanks.